Hello, I'm Badis, and welcome to the Implement Podcast. This is a podcast where we have great conversations about marketing, growing brands, and what it takes to be a great marketer. If you're interested in keeping up with the podcast episodes and the amazing content we produce at Implement, you should definitely subscribe to our newsletter. Just go to join-implement.com to subscribe. All right, enough self-promo, let's dive into this new episode, and thanks again for tuning in. Welcome to a new episode of the Implement Podcast. Today, my guest is Spencer Marlow. Spencer is a marketing director, EMEA at Anaplan. Spencer, welcome, and thank you so much for taking the time. Could you introduce yourself to our audience before we start?
Yeah, sure, Badis. Thanks very much for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here. I didn't tell you this, but I lived in France for a long time. So
Where?
Great to be talking. 2 years where I did my baccalaureate. So there you go. I have a nice French background to be talking here today. So I'm Spencer Marlow. As I say, as you said, I run marketing for Anaplan in Europe. Anaplan is a world leading provider of connected planning solutions, a connected planning software. And I've been in B2B marketing, I would say, for pretty much my whole career in technology. Big technology, small technology, hardware, software. I've worked at companies like Sterling Commerce, now part of IBM. I worked for EMC for quite a few years. I also ran a marketing agency, or helped run a marketing agency for 4 years. So been pretty much all over the place. More recently in Trillium Software, which is a data quality company that was acquired then by another company called SyncSort. And then and now at Anaplan. So lots of B2B and lots of technology.
That's great. I've went through the Anaplan website, of course, and I've checked, you know, what you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, I'm still curious to know how you would pitch it to someone who is not very smart like me. How what's the value? What's the value, especially for let's hear you pitch it. I'm curious to know how you would pitch it.
Let me see if I can do a 30-second elevator pitch on that. Let's talk about it from a marketeer's perspective, because that's where we are now. So if you're a marketing leader, you'll probably be very, very used to running a team of people across different countries, different time zones, all of whom are running plans, all of whom are investing budget, all of whom are making forecasts. And your job is to try and get a consolidated picture of all this in order to be able to provide leadership. So you probably spend a huge amount of your time chasing people for spreadsheets on which they've got their latest budget, on PowerPoints on which they put their latest plans. You're spending a huge amount of trying to consolidate these things in order to make decisions. And you're realizing that you're wasting huge amounts of time and effort and frustration on doing this. And that when you make the decisions, or when you get the information all together in one place to make your decisions, you know that it's out of date. You know that it's all wrong. And you know that you rely on it to present to your bosses or to the board some sort of coherent picture. So this is what Anaplan fixes. Anaplan takes all that mess that we talked about these information flying around in these fragmented, inefficient processes, and unifies it all in one global platform. It's what we call connected planning. Mm. And the result of this, as you can probably imagine, is first of all, at a tactical level, let's say, dramatic improvements in efficiency and cost savings, and simply the time that you no longer waste in these zero value activities that you can now focus in high value activities. And at a more strategic level, it's what enables strategic agility in reality in an organization, because when you have all your plans connected and in one place and up to date, you can change in response to market conditions, or in response to your CFO saying, hey, we need to slash the marketing budget this quarter. You can change plans dramatically faster and dramatically more effectively. And that's the real value of Anaplan. It's that real strategic agility, not just within marketing, but of course, as you grow, you start connecting the marketing plans to the sales plans, to the finance plans. It becomes almost like one huge magic spreadsheet for hundreds of thousands of people worldwide, mm-hmm. which everybody is on the same page all the time. It's it's genuinely transformational.
So I was wondering, you know, how much of the marketing data does it include? Like, is it just operational data on like budgets and operations, or does it include data about, can it include data about traffic, leads, lead generation, like campaigns, things like that?
Oh, sure, yeah. Everything. I mean, any sort of data that you write plans around. Typically, the data exists already in your transactional systems, so your ERP or your marketing automation system or your CRM, obviously. And what Anaplan does most of the time is sit on top of those systems, and we have bi-directional synchronization of data in real time between Anaplan and those systems. So Anaplan is using your real-time data and simply presenting it, allowing you to interrogate it and build spreadsheet-like interfaces to look at it in a way that your ERP was never built to do. But of course, you can also input data through Anaplan, and we can build interfaces to capture data. And indeed, we use it for all our marketing in both those ways. Yeah.
It's really interesting. And from what I understand, I think there's a huge pain point with consolidating data for sure. But there's also a huge pain point that you seem to be solving with organizing the data and making sure that you're actually looking at data that, you know, is important, is interesting, is actually critical for the business. Because I think those are two separate huge problems. And I feel like you guys are solving both of them.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. We do. And the consolidation and and by the way, hand in hand with that, the quality, all is driven by this kind of project. As soon as you start developing multiple models and multiple views of the same data across different functions within marketing, or indeed marketing connected to other functions, you need a single version of the truth. You need a data quality and a data hub, and that goes hand in hand with an Anaplan implementation. The great thing about Anaplan is that it's a very organic implementation, so you can start small and grow progressively and grow your data quality at the same time. You don't need a big bang solution for that. Yeah. And then, of course, when you build your own visualizations of the data, your own analysis of it, your own planning interfaces, very quickly, the first thing you want to see is what's important and what's not. Where are there problems and where they're not? Just like you'd build yourself a spreadsheet and say, hey, make the cell go red when there's a problem, conditional formatting. Yes, you do all that stuff in Anaplan as well. The key thing, of course, is you can build exactly the interface that you want, and you don't need IT to do that. This is absolutely a born in the cloud, owned by the business solution. So anybody who's got Excel spreadsheet skills can very quickly learn, to build and develop in Anaplan as well.
That's really cool. I have to say, it's really, really cool. Like, I feel like it's something that, we've talked about the boom in technology and data in marketing for several years now, but the amount of training and literacy of marketers in that area is still really behind. I feel like it's something that needs to, people need to jump on that train and learn how to exploit all this data and read it, just simply read it and
correct,
and learn from it. Talking about this, what marketers should be looking at, because you have a lot of clients that deal with a lot of different things. You have a lot of different case studies. What should marketers pay attention? What kind of data should they pay attention to and organize their sort of dashboard around?
Mm-mm. Well, the systematic answer to that, of course, is the data that matters to their company and their leadership, as opposed to the data that maybe matters to marketing. and so the first thing you've got to do, I think, is get very clear in your mind, and to your point, marketeers are not very good at this typically, very, very clear in your mind about what analysis you need, what questions you need to be asking, and who those questions matter to. And marketing typically finds that it mixes up what I would call external metrics or external analysis, stuff that matters to the rest of the business to understand marketing, and that shows that marketing is contributing what it needs to do to the business, as opposed to internal metrics, the things that matter to marketing to run its own engine properly, but which the rest of the business doesn't care about or shouldn't care about. So, for example, you still hear stories of marketing trying to explain, and clearly that is not something that the CFO is ever should ever worry about or is ever going to be interested in, and they won't understand the relevance of that to their company or indeed to their objectives. Typically, of course, where marketing can start to have a great dialogue and does more and more nowadays is the impact on pipeline, pipeline generation and pipeline progression. So good marketing departments are now well engaged in that discussion. And then the more advanced, marketing operations have educated their business as well on the broader importance of things like brand, engagement and engagement metrics, influence on pipeline generation and progression, and have got that dialogue well in place with the business. And they've taught their business to stop worrying about a myriad of other things, which you know, just exist within the marketing shop. You know.
So just to make sure I understand, you're talking about basically linking brand activities, brand engagement campaigns to actual pipeline growth. Is that what marketers are should focus on and the kind of data they should be having?
I think marketers need to find a way, again, I'm talking about communicating what marketing does to the rest of the business, find a way of communicating why brand is and what we call what you and I think of as top of funnel activities ultimately have an impact on pipeline at the bottom. A lot of businesses, you know, when marketing has made some steps into becoming accountable, end up only measuring marketing on one thing, which is, you know, the generation of marketing qualified leads and then sales qualified leads right at the bottom of the marketing funnel. Yeah. And that's not bad. I mean, that's a good step. At least that's being accountable for something which is real and proper.
Yeah.
But it does leave out the value of a lot more of what marketing does, which is the engagement across all target accounts and across all target segments, which help everybody else drive pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
When marketing can show how it's helping the whole business drive pipeline, then it is really starting to earn its seat at the table, if you want to use that expression.
Yeah.
And one mistake that businesses make a lot of the time is to think of marketing as like a silo, a standalone one source of pipeline generation. When in fact, the most important thing marketing does is to help everybody drive pipeline.
I understand now your point, and it's solving yet another big problem for marketers. I mean, I think it's in a Ernst & Young study I've read recently, proving sort of, you know, marketing ROI is one of the biggest, you know, CMO worries out there. It's in the top five, I think, of you know, what they should worry about, and so I'm curious to know, how does that work? Like, how do you within your tool, how are you able to sort of match you know, brand to brand engagement to pipeline and bottom line? Like, how does that work?
Sure, absolutely. Well, there's the real answer is there's no one way it works. The way it works is the way that works best for a given organization with its own culture, its own language, its own objectives. So there's no one size fits all answer. But I would say one way there's two or three ways you can do it. One is that you can use a tool like Anaplan to correlate the amount of marketing spend that you go in with the amount of pipeline growth across a business. And you can get a bit more granular and start correlating the amount of marketing engagement in specific accounts with the amount of growth that goes on of pipeline creation in those accounts, you know, and you can start drawing that parallel and start showing the relationship between the two, you know, the investment going in and then the correlation coming out. What can get difficult, though, is that it is frequently, I was going to say, impossible to draw on a direct line of causality between, you know, this bucket of 10,000 marketing dollars spent here and this particular opportunity that came out and got closed over here.
Yeah.
You know, there's still an inference between the two that needs to be drawn and needs to be accepted. And I think one of the challenges for the CMO is oftentimes getting the step that this is the reality. You know, marketing has gone through a period of, let's say, 25 years now in B2B marketing of becoming more measurable and accountable. Mm. And a lot of the time, because of that, marketeers have become reluctant or very frightened of claiming value when they can't draw this perfect correlation between the spend over here and the closed business over there. And that's why people focus on this marketing qualified lead and sales qualified lead bottom of the funnel metric, because that's where you get that level of cause and effect. Mm-hmm. But the real, to my mind, the bigger value finds itself in that higher up the funnel, in that engagement that marketing is driving across all the accounts you're trying to penetrate, across all the markets you're trying to get into, to warm up those accounts for everybody to drive pipeline in. Particularly if, like us, you work obviously with sales teams who are driving their own pipeline directly in large named accounts, but also with an ecosystem of partners who we work with very closely, and we see it as our job to warm up those accounts with awareness and with interest for our partners to go in and have much more productive conversations in.
It sounds really exciting. Yeah, it sounds really exciting. You're about to say something. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was going to say, so the way we do that, again, is that we have this notion of, and we use Anaplan for this, of mapping out very clear levels of, first of all, account coverage. So account by account and segment, buying unit within each account, do we have the right level and quality of contact coverage in those accounts? Do we have people to talk to in all the way that we do? And secondly, on top of that, do we layer the right level of engagement with those contacts? And that is basically using Anaplan mixed in with other tools like Salesforce or other. We use Engageo as another tool to capture some of that data and then feed it back into Anaplan. Can we demonstrate that without, even if we don't generate leads or qualified leads, that we are building engagement in those accounts, be it through Anaplan marketing assets, engagement with those, or indeed through wider marketing assets in the marketplace. So we acquired recently a company called Mintigo at the time. We've now rebranded it to Predictive Analytics, who do intent data. So we measure the engagement of accounts with a huge myriad of websites and content out there which correspond to the value propositions and the solutions we're trying to drive. Mm. And we bring all that in to see in the accounts we're trying to target, is marketing building that engagement? We can show that picture now to our business and say, yep, we're warming up the ground demonstrably for the team.
So the engagement is measured through this metric of intent that you talked about. How does it work? Like, I'm curious. Go ahead.
What happens is, we have technology that goes out and has we have agreements with hundreds and hundreds of content providers in the world, or content hosters, you know, websites of typically, you know, web presences, and they will feed back to us because of our agreement, our subscription to them. They will give us metadata on the type of content being consumed by companies on their sites. So we will know if a particular account is consuming content related to, for instance, sales planning or supply chain planning. Those are areas that we work in. And so we will be able to see in those accounts in pretty much real time if there is a sudden uplift in that account of interest in that kind of content. And a sudden uplift typically means you've got multiple people at the same time in that account suddenly interested in content about sales planning. Well, that probably means that there's a project going on to fix a sales planning problem. And therefore, it's the right time for a company like us to reach out to an account that is genuinely going to be interested in hearing from us, you know, as opposed to a cold engagement.
It's now, really fascinating. I've never heard about this before.
Yeah, that's effectively that's a predictive intent data. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we layer that together with our own lead scoring data, you know, which is your classic internal lead scoring on Anaplan content, plan website, and a few other sites. And together, that gives us a view of effectively a heat map, if you will, of coverage across the accounts that we want to sell to. Is marketing building that? It's almost like demonstrating that the awareness is there.
Yeah.
Which you couldn't do before. You just hoped it was there because you'd done a lot of advertising and PR, let's say. Nowadays, we say if we do PR, we expect to see that reflected in account coverage because that will drive people to our website. They will engage with our content. They ultimately will reveal themselves to us. We will obviously engage them in more outbound activity, and you will see that reflected in the heat map of engagement in our accounts.
That's really a brilliant way to read it, like this mix of account coverage and engagement plus the classic lead scoring. Truly, like this is the first time I hear this process of it's really fascinating. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, and that's a pleasure. We do that thanks to our own tools. So it's a pleasure to be able to talk about it. But it really is about, I would say, bringing, let's call it the middle of the funnel, to life for the business. Saying this is the impact of the business for the middle of the funnel. Now, after that, of course, the business has got to still believe. You can start then correlating that level of engagement with pipeline growth. And ultimately, pipeline acceleration and closed business. And if you want to, but ultimately, when you get to show that, your average sales director understands very, very well that if you see that engagement going on, it's going to make it dramatically easier to go and sell into that that particular account and into the particular decision-making units within that account. You know, we traditionally sell to different functions in the business. Sales or supply chain or the finance function, and we can show it which function we have that engagement in.
That's amazing. I feel like you're one of the best qualified guests I had on the podcast to talk about marketing metrics. And it's something that we talk about a lot, and I mean, if you are passionate about it and if you're spending time on it, but believe me, there are a lot of marketers that really don't pay that much attention to it, which is a problem you're trying to fix with Anaplan. But what else there is to say about marketing metrics? Like what is new? What is what is there to learn for someone who's already interested in it, and what's coming? What's new in this field?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I get it. You're quite right. I mean, like I said before, B2B marketing has been looking and metrics and becoming more and more metrics driven for the past 2-3 decades almost, So what's new? Well, I think the key thing for me is the realization that for myself and for many of my colleagues in other companies, even if we've been doing metrics for many years, we're probably doing them wrong a lot of the time. And so that there needs to be, I think, at this stage, as marketing is more and more asked to become accountable and metrics driven, a big moment of self-awareness about this. Like I said before, many marketeers still put metrics in place which, first of all, are not tightly defined enough. They don't have clear common language about them. If I just say to you, right, in this large company that I'm working in, we're going to run a campaign, you'll probably ask 3 people what a campaign is, and you'll get 3 different answers. And you'll ask 10 people what a campaign is and get 10 different answers. So to start measuring the campaign, that doesn't stop people start to then define campaign metrics. So already you start getting into trouble. So you need clear definitions and common language, first of all. And secondly, like I said, you need to oftentimes rethink entirely what really matters. Marketers, for instance, have spent a long time thinking that the only metric that matters and that can be of value, either externally or internally, is one that is expressed in terms of dollars, in pounds and in dollars or pounds or francs or euros. We don't have francs anymore, euros. and frequently for measuring actual marketing activities internal to marketing, let's say, that's often not the case at all. And you need to unlearn some of your thinking in order to really focus on what matters to improve your performance. For example, you take the humble email, as a marketing channel. I've worked in companies, even recently, where we had the dollar value of MQLs generated through their email program then they couldn't measure email, and that was the end of it. And we and if you go through, you know, thinking about it, you start thinking, no, hang on, this emails in themselves don't generate marketing qualified leads these days. They are one touch point in a number of different touch points that generate the lead ultimately. So let's stop worrying about MQLs, because that's just bullshit, if I can use that word on your podcast.
Absolutely.
Frequently used word in marketing is technical. It means suboptimal. And instead, start looking at what actually does the email do as part of your machine. And personally, I come to the conclusion that what the email does, it's a mechanism that obviously engages a prospect and tries to get them to move, to click and move from A to B, to go to a landing environment where there's an asset. So really, you start thinking the only thing that matters about your email, assuming you're not paying for it, assuming it's earned content or owned channel, it's click-through rate. And if you can learn to relax then and measure, right, all I'm going to do now is measure click-through rate, and I'm going to start actually putting my effort into benchmarking all my emails just on click-through rate, now I can work out what's best and what's worst. And I can really start focusing my effort on making that part of the machine work a lot better. So that's an example of kind of unlearning old thinking and really trying to bring reality and focus back to what actually goes on in marketing.
Yeah.
And living by it.
Yeah.
All of us have got a long habit of spinning stories for the rest of the business about what marketing does and how it should be measured in order to please the rest of the business. And a lot of the time, if I can use my BS word again, we've buried ourselves in BS. We've got to remember what the reality is. And sometimes the reality is also to explain to your business, like in my engagement metrics earlier, you know what? This is an influence metric. There is no direct cause and effect between these five engagement points and this sales qualified lead generated over here. But you know, and I know, that if I can show you the kind of engagement I showed you before in your account, it's got to be good. It's got to make it easier for you to sell. Yeah. And the fact that we measure then this engagement going up means things are getting better. So does that make sense? Sorry.
Absolutely, it does. It does. And I really loved the example on email marketing specifically. And I think it shows how focus and choosing your metrics is going to impact so much, like everything you do afterwards, because your example on click-through rate is great. I think it's really illustrates the whole thing. Yeah.
That's right. Now there's probably a couple of, if you're paying for your emails, obviously then you might also want to be measuring cost per click if it's a paid channel and so forth. But
it's a great example because it just gets distracting when you're looking at a lot of data that is not really relevant to your objective, and you started the podcast earlier by talking about what matters are the questions that the CMOs are asking the data. That's what matters. It's the questions you're going to ask are the answers you're going to receive, and are the projects that you're going to lay out for the business. So it's
that's really very true. That's right.
So
and in fact, that takes us to another. I cut across you a bit.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say what you're talking about takes us to another big lesson I think that we've learned around all this, which is that with a tool like ours, which is quite dangerous, or indeed other, let's say business intelligence tools, it's very easy to start creating dashboard after dashboard after dashboard because you can, and analyzing everything that moves. In fact, less is more is a very, very, very fundamental lesson. And you need to start being very rigorous about what is the question that really matters. Yeah. And what is the question that really, if I can answer it, is really going to make a difference to either to us or to the business. And then get and focus on getting very, very solid on just those questions. And don't create another dashboard until you really, really need to, until you're really sure that it's going to add that value. Because very quickly you get overwhelmed. And you need to get your marketing team focused on, like I say, if it's more than five dashboards or more than five big questions, you know, you've probably got an issue. I just plucked that number out of the air. That may or may not be the right number, but you see the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
Particularly as, you know, when you want to build a data-driven, a metrics-driven culture in marketing, unless you're starting with a team that's already very attuned to this, you have to go gradually. And by drowning people in dashboards is completely the wrong way to do it. If you can start with one or two dashboards or three things that really insights that really matter and drive you day by day, and you keep coming back to them every day and you look at them together every day, and because they matter and you make sure that they matter, then people really start to feel liberated. Let's say they really start to feel clarity start to come. Great.
Yeah.
This is really helping me now.
You
see that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that what I was just getting onto there then is that clearly the metrics and the dashboards are nothing without the right management culture around them. And one of the worst things to do, of course, is to throw up loads of metrics and dashboards and then continue to manage or try and drive things in a way that's not leveraging them properly and not demonstrating their use every day.
Yeah,
so, absolutely. Once you put in, let's say, for instance, you want to measure yourself on, like we do, on sales qualified leads generated versus a target, you know, then that target has to matter, and you have to treat it like it matters, even if you're not, if the rest of the business doesn't look at it yet or doesn't quite understand it yet or isn't talking about it, you've got to keep yourself focused on it and work to it and keep that thing real, because you know that is genuinely ultimately what you are delivering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Otherwise, your team will quickly disengage.
Yeah, and it's an excellent point, and I think it when I invited Spencer to the interview, he said, "Okay, but I want to talk about the joy of boring things," and I was wondering what that meant. You're talking about all this, so I think I kind of understand more what you mean, and. Getting people aligned around very, very simple metrics to follow, very simple dashboards, very simple objectives. That's where you can get a lot of impact. As an organization, is that what you mean by the joy of boring things?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it even goes maybe a little further than that. I think most marketeers, I think, live in a state of fear and confusion. To a greater or lesser degree all the time, because their role in the business and the value that they create is completely misunderstood or vague or not defined. And therefore, you know, the marketeer will always complain. If things are going well, it's the sales guys who did it. And if things are going badly, marketing is the first to get blamed or the first to get told they're doing rubbish or the first to get their budget cut.
Yeah. You know?
So once you've agreed with your business or even within your team, although the agreement has to happen with the business as well, clearly, once you've agreed what marketing does, what it contributes, you've defined that, and then you've built a solid business-recognized measurement of it, for the first time then marketing say, I know what I deliver, everybody else knows what I deliver, and I can prove whether I did my job or not at the end of the day. You know, and I can prove that I am contributing what the business wants, and I know where to focus my effort every day and where not to focus it. And this is fantastically beneficial for the business, obviously, because the business gets what it wants from marketing. But it's also terrific for the marketeer, because it is a joyful, liberating experience. Suddenly, this weight lifts off you.
Yeah,
you know where you stand, and then, of course, there's the added joy of cutting out wasted time of doing stuff that you know is possibly stupid, but that sometimes the business might be asking you to do. Mm-hmm. And cutting out a lot of that, that is not just wasting time. It's also soul destroying, you know, when you're doing stuff which you know is pointless. So getting that clarity and that focus between marketing and the business, that's why I think of it as joyful.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And I call it the joy of boring things, because that's what people think the metrics are most of the time, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Until this clarity emerges from them.
No, I think
it's true that when companies implement metrics badly, then they just add to the misery. You know, then you just got another layer of misery on top of an existing layer of misery. And that's why I emphasize what I said earlier about the importance of management, about thinking very, very clearly on what matters. Is it agreed with the business? And are we rigorous and solid about the measurements and the systems we put in place to drive it? We start with a few things and we do them very well.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the fact that most marketers think it's boring, and you know, when you're making the case that it's actually not boring, it's liberating, and I understand all that. It's because I think as I said earlier, there's this lack of literacy and understanding of what is possible, and I think there's a lack of knowledge, but also very easy to handle tools that will, you know, sort of make it easy to understand and to approach this topic without the fear of getting into something so complicated that, you know, and I think there's definitely something to invent there on the tool side, on the knowledge side, so that there's not this sort of stigma anymore of, you know, the whole metrics topic being boring and being, you know, out of reach, sort of.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree. I think, you know, a huge amount has changed, as I say, in the past 10, 20 years. Like I've said, we've come to a position now where I think pretty much every young marketeer, which I don't quite count myself in that club anymore, but any young marketeer coming into this career now knows and understands and is attuned to the need for measurement and accountability and so forth. What I think we've got to get better at now is, particularly as managers and leaders, is asking the right questions and being very clear intellectually and brave intellectually about what those right questions are. Because often the stuff we've learned in the past is not necessarily right.
Yeah. Yeah, Spencer, thank you so much. Let's wrap this up because time flies. We've been talking for for a while now. Do you have any resources where, you know, you feel like you know someone should look into if they want to learn more about marketing metrics, about data, about dashboarding, about like all these topics? Do you have anyone you follow, any blogs, anywhere you could send them?
Well, certainly, I think the work. I mean, everybody knows the work done by Serious Decisions, and I think, you know, now part of Forrester, and I think that still holds true as a very strong and good body of work. I think also the right angle to approach this from is, as much as I say, the cultural, the managerial angle, not the technical angle of trying to develop dashboards. And for that, I'd also point people to the work of I forget the author's name now, but the book about the revenue-driven marketeer, or the rise of the revenue marketeer. Yeah. Which is a book to search for, which was a very, very good book by a lady called Debbie, and I can never pronounce her name, Podash or something like that. But if you look for that on Amazon, that's a very good book which talks about the frame of mind in which marketing management needs to approach this whole topic.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing, you know, about all this. Can you share with us maybe where, you know, if someone listening wants to connect with you or follow your content, or where can they find you online?
I'm on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn. Like most people are. So Spencer Marlow, Marlow. If you search me on LinkedIn at Anaplan, and you'll find me there.
All right. Thank you so much for your time, Spencer.
Okay. Real pleasure. Thanks a lot, buddies. Speak again soon.